Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and thank you for those who've commented. Appreciate your kind words about yesterday's program, where we aired audio from our hidden microphone during my Channel 7 News interview regarding the horror, the massacre in Frederick, Colorado, the slaughter of the Watts family by the adulterous husband. Thank you for that. We are reaching out, trying to work with State Representative Lori Sane of Firestone up there near Frederick so that she will introduce a bill, not a typical Republican fetal homicide bill that affirms abortion. I mean, it's so ironic and it's so bizarre when Republicans do introduce a fetal homicide bill, they go out of their way to affirm abortion. So Colorado Right to Life has an abortion neutral fetal homicide bill. It's actually an Unborn Victims of Crime Act, and it is abortion neutral. And hopefully, in fact, at the very top of Colorado Right to Life's website, they're asking people to pray that Representative Sane will not succumb to the pressure to, and ironically, to defend abortionists in the very bill she introduces to get justice for unborn victims. So thank you for your comments about yesterday's program. Today, mostly, we want to talk about the Pope besieged in the Vatican, and it is uncanny that we're going to the Vatican. We do a Bible tour of a different country every 5 years or so. Since we've been on the air, we've gone to Israel 3 times, to Turkey, Greece, and now back to Italy a second time. When in Rome, do Romans. And when in Rome, you go to the Vatican also, which we've done. If you ever go there and they show you in St. Peter's Basilica, right where Peter is buried, whatever you do, don't ask them, where is his wife buried? It will not go over well. But the Pope is besieged right now. We'll look at some of the headlines. And in all the years that we've been on the air, perhaps I've been remiss, you know, but we have not gone after the Pope, whoever the Pope has been in these last 27 years. Typically, when the subject of Roman Catholicism comes up, we will talk about their beliefs that are not based on what the Bible teaches, and quite a few that contradict the Bible's teaching. We did have quite an in-studio debate. Bob debates a Catholic, and if you're interested in that, it's available at our store, kgov.com. Just click on the top on our store, or you could go to our debates page, kgov.com/debates, and you'll see right there, they're easy to find. The debates are all organized on that page. There are dozens of them, and you could find Bob Debates a Catholic. So you could either order it from the store so that you can share a CD with someone easily, or you could go right online and find it there. So I perhaps have been remiss because so much has been done by the popes of the last quarter century that has been so immoral and so devastating to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But right now, and we began this a couple years ago, you'll recall our pope list here at Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio. We've become well known for making lists, and they typically are lists of evidence or arguments for some observation, some claim, some teaching of the Bible. Well, we decided to create, it was a year and a half ago, about our BEL Pope list, and you can find it kgov.com/pope, and we list a couple dozen specific actions or statements by Pope Francis that are absolutely horrific. They are in conflict with the teachings of Jesus Christ, not only on issues like homosexuality and issues that God made us male and female, but even on issues like the death penalty, where Jesus said he must surely be put to death. And all the New Testament support for the death penalty. So when Pope Francis comes out, and this was just a couple weeks ago, claiming that in light of the gospel, the death penalty is inadmissible, the Pope there was basically rebuking Jesus Christ for the Lord's support for the death penalty, and that means it was in the New Testament. Remember that Jesus said in Matthew 15, and you can find a parallel passage in Mark 7, God commanded saying, let him be put to death, but you say, and then you can insert Francis' own words there. God commanded, Jesus is rebuking them. Why do you disobey the commandment of God because of your own ideas? For God commanded saying, let him be put to death, but you say, and then insert Pope Francis' claim there. Well, in light of the gospel, the death penalty is inadmissible. So the Pope thinks that he trumps Jesus Christ. And we have, about a year and a half ago, we began this list, and it includes the mishandling of sexual abuse cases. And one of the examples we give is that under Pope Francis' leadership, Denver's own Archbishop Samuel J. Aquila continues to stonewall families of the victims of Father Neil Hewitt. And we've done a series of cases on that. Of course, you could get a link to that series. Just go to kgov.com/pope and you'll find it. Or, I hate to even say it, but kgov.com/Hewitt and you'll find it. So I want to discuss some of the latest about the Pope. We were at Sunday school at Denver Bible Church 2 weeks ago. And by the way, if you can't attend in person, many people around the country feel like they attend. Some of them even feel like they're members of Denver Bible Church because they subscribe to the Sunday school classes that I have the honor of teaching, verse-by-verse studies through the books of the Bible, and to the sermons. And these are available in audio or video. And by video, you can get them, for example, as DVDs or Blu-ray discs, or you could get them in audio CDs you pop in your car, or a whole month's worth of sermons or Bible studies on a single MP3 CD. And then when we complete a book, if we're going through a book, we put the whole book available on our store, kgov.com, and you click on the store. But at Sunday school a couple weeks ago, after the Sunday school, we will take questions. During it, of course, we're recording for those who can't be there in person. But then when it ends, we take questions. And one woman asked, how can it be that the priest molestation scandal is so systematic, it's spread out across this country and for decades and around the world? How can that possibly be? And how could it be that there is a systematic cover-up? Instead of reporting this to the police each and every time in an effort to eradicate the behavior, how could it possibly be that there is a cover-up? And my answer was, the only explanation for a systematic cover-up is that this wickedness does not occur only within the ranks of the lowly priest, but also with the bishops and the archbishops moving all the way up through the hierarchy into the Vatican, the cardinals, and so on. I got an email this morning from a listener in Nevada. His name is Mike, and he says, Bob, it's amazing. I've been listening to your show. Talk radio is exploding with condemnation of the Pope, Pope Francis, and the Catholic Church pedophilia epidemic. He said, just in the last 2 days, starting with Rush Limbaugh, he advocated for 5 minutes. And this is, Mike points out, this is exactly what we've mentioned on this show, even just in the last few weeks. He advocated for 5 minutes for an end to the celibacy requirement for priests. That's a great point, right? Because you're asking for sexual perversion. When you tell men who want to be in full-time ministry that they cannot be married. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul addresses this. And there is a gift of celibacy where some people are completely content without being married. But other men have a great desire. God has put in us a sexual drive. And Paul even comes out so bluntly to say it's better to marry than to burn, that is, to burn with lust. And of course, then all the destruction that comes of that. So when you deny the reality of how God made us, and when you deny the reality of marriage, that's such an integral part of the ministry that God has given to the world, as documented in the Bible throughout the ages. For example, when you look at the prophets, they were all single, right? The priests, they were all single, right? The kings, they were all single, right? The apostles, they were all single, right? No, they even think that Peter was the first pope, which undoubtedly was a shock to Peter. By the time the first person got up to heaven, some centuries after Peter died, and said, Peter, by the way, did you know that you were the first pope? And he said, the first why? What are you talking about? Peter was married. Jesus, in the four Gospels, it says that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. The Apostle Paul wrote, now this is in the epistles. What are the epistles? The epistles are the wives of the apostles. No, that's not true. Sorry. That's supposed to be a joke. The epistles are not the wives of the apostles. The epistles are letters that the apostles wrote to believers. And in the epistles, we read this, and Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. In fact, warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to silence anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Okay, that's an FCC requirement before you quote from the Bible. So Paul wrote this. He said, don't I have the right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Peter? So not only do we read in the four Gospels that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, that's his wife's mother, lest some Catholics try to say that, well, Peter's wife must have died shortly after that because Peter was single, lest they try to claim that, which they would undoubtedly if the Apostle Paul didn't write to the Corinthians many years later that, hey, Peter and the other apostles, they get to travel with their wives, and here I am stuck with Barnabas, which is exactly what he was saying. So he was a little grouchy that day, you know, but hey, there's grouchy in the Bible. Did you ever read Jonah? Read Jonah, and when God did not fulfill the prophecy of 40 days and Nineveh would be destroyed, Jonah was grouchy. And why? Because he valued the prophecy more than he valued love. But if I have all knowledge and all prophecy, but have not love, I am nothing. You know how much good it would do for thousands of theologians and pastors if they would take heed to that, because they have elevated knowledge, like omniscience, knowledge and prophecy above love. Whereas God elevates love and hope, expectancy above knowledge and prophecy. So at any rate, you know, Jonah was pretty grouchy, but it's in the Bible because it was real. And Paul was sort of grouchy when he said, here I am with Barnabas, and you guys, Peter, you and your co-apostles and the 12 apostles, Paul was the one apostle to the one body of Christ, and Peter was one of the 12 apostles to the 12 tribes of Israel, believing Israel. So Paul said, here I am traveling with Barnabas, and you, Peter, you and your other apostles, you get to travel with your wives. So Mike from Nevada writes and says, Bob, this is really amazing. Talk radio is exploding with a condemnation of the Pope and the Catholic Church pedophilia epidemic. In the last 2 days, he writes, starting with Rush, he spent 5 minutes advocating an end to the celibacy requirement for priests. Hey, if the first pope could be married, couldn't the current pope be married? So Mike continues. He said, then today, this is Tuesday, August 28th, 2018, Laura Ingraham, who does make me nauseous. Mike wrote that there. Mike, is that nice? She makes me nauseous too, but doesn't mean it's nice. I can't take seeing her. You know, we put on Fox News once in a while. If Laura Ingraham comes on, I just can't. I can't take it. I'd much rather watch MSNBC than Laura Ingraham. Anyway, he said, then Laura Ingraham, who makes me nauseous, had two or three callers who said the real problem is homosexuality. And thank God for those callers. Thank you, Lord, that some have not bowed the knee. Thank you, Lord. Mike adds, to my amazement, Laura Ingraham gave them no pushback. She didn't fight. She didn't argue with them. That is amazing, right? She had gone pretty much pro-gay, especially since one of her own children came out as a homosexual. So Mike says, I was shocked to hear callers stating the truth on national radio and without pushback. Pretty interesting. Mike, you are not kidding. Is that interesting? Our website, kgov.com, the page that has our entire argument against homosexuality, all on one page, and our debates. In fact, the page itself is a debate. It's at kgov.com/homosexuality. So in the news from AFP, the French Associated Press, basically, out of Vatican City, there's a report by Catherine Marciano that the Pope is remaining silent on the claim that he himself ignored abuse. He was told of sexual abuse, of cover-up of sexual abuse, and he remained silent. And these accusations are coming out from high-level officials who have either recently left the church or who have been reassigned. This is extremely significant, and I think that October 1st, we're headed to Italy. And we'll be in Rome. When in Rome, do Romans. So as we're there, we will have a brief Bible study each day where we'll go through passages of the book of Romans. We'll have a great time. Actually, we're going to start in Naples. My family, we're Italian, well, half Italian, my mother's side. Galluccio, Dominic Galluccio, came here from Italy, my great-grandfather. And they're Napolitan. They're from Naples. And so we're going to start. We fly into Rome. We fly directly to Rome. Some have thought, are we stopping off in Istanbul? Is there a layover? No. We're flying directly from JFK Airport in New York City, directly to Rome, nonstop. And then we go from there to Naples, and we're going to go to Pompeii, the city that was destroyed in the eruption of Vesuvius, Mount Vesuvius. So as they then excavate through the ash, you get to see what a Roman city was like. Indeed, when Paul was ministering, when he went to Rome. Remember, he was under house arrest in Rome for 2 years. So to get back to the news here, out of Vatican City, Pope Francis is declining to comment on a claim, and this has been for a few days now, that he has ignored sexual abuse allegations against a senior clergyman. Now, some people are thinking that all the pushback. In fact, they call it a putsch, right? A putsch, that's a secret plot to try to overthrow a government or a pope in this matter. But this putsch, it can't be too secret. It's supposed to be a secret plot. But there's a lot of anger against this Pope Francis because of many of the items in our Pope list, kgov.com/pope. And so Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, right off the bat, I recommend that Carlos change his middle name. Carlo Maria Vigano. You don't want a man with a woman's name. I mean, if it can be helped. Some names are gender neutral, of course, or they become gender neutral by use. But other names, come on, you're just calling yourself a girl. Don't call yourself a girl. I was confused as a little kid. I went 8 years Catholic grammar school. We were Catholic until my freshman year in high school, and I became a Christian through the outreach of campus life. It was like a Youth for Christ group for high schools. And I became a believer at one of their weekend retreats. It was in September 1973. But the 8 years I spent in Catholic grammar school, we'd have like Sister Vincent Carmichael or something. And they'd all have guys' names. And I think, why do you all have guys' names? I didn't quite get that. But here, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, a former Vatican envoy to the U.S. So the Vatican sent him as an official to the United States because the Vatican is like its own country there with a wall around it. Where they don't have a wall, they have armed guards. On Saturday, he stated publicly that he had told Pope Francis of the allegations against the prominent U.S. Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, he's from Washington, D.C., back 5 years ago. So this Archbishop Vigano says, 5 years ago, I told Pope Francis, I told the Vatican about Cardinal McCarrick and what happened. Well, let me continue with the article. But rather than punish McCarrick, Pope Francis lifted the sanctions that had been imposed on him previously by Pope Benedict XVI. Now, it does turn out that he was forced to resign, but that was just last month, July 2018. So this article continues, corruption has reached the very top of the church's hierarchy. And has reached, that implies that it hasn't been in the Vatican for centuries, which might be a hard claim to defend. Vigano said in a letter published in the National Catholic Register in several conservative U.S. Catholic publications. So he means the Pope. Corruption has reached the very top of the church's hierarchy, but the Pope refused to address the allegation. In fact, he was asked about this specifically on his plane as he flew back from Dublin, Ireland to Rome by a reporter, and he said, I will not say a word about that. So, and we mentioned, I believe it was yesterday, right, that Pope Francis invited a priest to speak in Ireland at a venue before the Pope spoke, and this priest did everything he could to try to get the Catholic Church to accept homosexuals as members. Now, that would be like saying, we want to accept adulterers as members. You see, if someone is committing adultery and they don't repent, then the New Testament says that they should be disfellowshipped from the church and that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So if you openly say that we are, forget what the Bible teaches, we are going to accept adulterers as members, which, by the way, most Protestant churches do, including the ones that are supposed to be good, certainly all the seeker-friendly ones that are in many ways fraudulent. In virtually every large church, they accept adulterers as members in good standing, generally speaking. So if the church said, we accept adulterers as members, that would be like saying we accept child molesters as members. It's similar. We accept homosexuals as members in good standing. That's when I first knew that George W. Bush was evil. I mean, it wasn't absolute proof, but it made the case overwhelmingly likely when he first announced he was running for the Republican nomination for president, and he had attended the largest Methodist church in Houston. So I call the church, and they have a membership director. I asked to speak to the director of membership, and I said, if someone is a homosexual, can that person be a member in good standing in the church? And this woman said, oh, yes, absolutely. So that told me that George W. Bush was attending an evil church, and that certainly if he was a Christian, then he was a very superficial Christian who didn't understand what it means to know God and to obey God. He just didn't understand that. But then all the evidence came in that his conversion was fraudulent. It was all political. We interviewed the guy who wrote the book on Ronald Reagan's conversion, who's a very strong pro-Republican Christian college professor, wrote the book God and Ronald Reagan. Then he wrote the book God and George W. Bush. And he came on and we went through Bush's entire conversion story. And I knew the story, the account, as well as he did. And he affirmed, yeah, that's how George W. Bush, that's his conversion story. He became a Christian so he could help his father's presidential campaign to be the liaison to the evangelicals, because his father didn't know anything about the gospel. So he had to get saved to help his father get elected, and he did, as a dutiful son who had his own political ambitions. But back to the Pope's plane, right? He's flying back to Rome, and he's asked about, here is a former Vatican official, the envoy to the United States. He's an archbishop, Archbishop Carlo Vigano. And he says, look, the Pope knew about this, and he covered it up going back 5 years ago that I'm aware of. And the Pope is asked, and he says, I will not say a word about that. So, hey, it's time to put pressure on the Pope, and we'll be there, right? October 1st, we'll see what happens. God bless you guys.
Hi, this is Bob Enyart. Hey, have you seen Real Science Radio's video, Evidence Against the Big Bang? It's available on DVD, Blu-ray, or download. Our goal is for millions more to be able to answer correctly and with confidence the number one most important question, where do we come from? Evidence Against the Big Bang is available at our website, rsr.org. Just click on the store, or by calling us at 1-800-8-ENYART or 1-800-836-9278.